What we're going to talk about this morning is very well probably the biggest difficulty among God's people. I don't know what you think of whenever you hear the term covenant, but covenant always covers two sides. Covenant is not just a blessing, it can also be a cursing. When you think in terms of God making a covenant with his people, if they respond to him faithfully, they find the greatest blessings imaginable. Yet if they do not take these things seriously to be diligent with them, they find a curse that is also beyond imagination. When you start to think about how serious God is in his covenant, that he would sacrifice his only son, sinless, without blemish, without spot, in order to open up the doors so that we could share in a covenant together with him, knowing that he will be faithful to his covenant promises. And those promises go in two different directions based upon where our hearts and our lives are invested every day. When you think about Jesus' statements in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Later on in James chapter 5, James says the same thing of make sure your yes is yes and your no is no. And I think the day we came into this covenant relationship through the blood of Christ with him, are we going to really show the diligence and the seriousness of this relationship with God? The greatest blessings or the greatest cursings being available. If you notice it here, if you would open up to Hebrews chapter 8, looking at verse 6, page 1201 in the Pew Bibles, listen to where it talks about Jesus being. He says, but now he, speaking of Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Here's Jesus. He doesn't mediate the old covenant. He was never the mediator of the old covenant. He only mediates this new covenant, which is enacted upon better promises. And notice the way it refers to Jesus of this being his ministry is through this covenant. And through this covenant agreement that we've made based upon the death of Jesus, whenever we were born into God, whenever we were baptized into Christ, those are God's covenant people. Notice verse 7, he's going to show some contrast. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. He says, if that first covenant, the law of Moses from the Old Testament, if it was without any problem at all, if it was faultless, there would be no need for a second covenant. So he's saying there was a big fault with that first covenant. And he's going to point very specifically with where the fault lies. Notice the next verse in verse 8. For finding fault with them, notice where the fault was. It wasn't on God's side in what he was commanded and what he was bringing the people to. It was within the people. The fault was within the people. And he's going to point out what it was here in these next couple of verses. And to go, what's going to happen within this new covenant? Is something going to be done beyond what was not sufficient under the first? The rest of verse 8 continues on. He says, behold, days are coming. And he's quoting out of the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, when he writes these things, it's about the times where God's people have forgotten about God. They still have the commandments of God. The people, the priests could read them, the people could hear them and learn them and live by them, but that was no longer being honored. And God's people were getting ready to be carried off into captivity because of their neglect of this covenant relationship. Because of them bringing together idols. And whenever we say idols this morning, I don't want you to think of a statue of stone or gold or silver. I want you to think about the things that we dedicate our time and our lives to ahead of God himself. He says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, the covenant God, bringing it out specifically, the God who keeps his covenant promises. He says, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. He says, I'm going to give to Israel, God's people, a new covenant. He says, and it's not going to be like the covenant that was given to Moses. It's not going to be like that one where I took them out of the bondage in Egypt by the hand to lead them out, to take them, my aim was to take them to the promised land. But because they were faithless, they didn't get to go. Because they wouldn't honor the covenant, many were laid low in the wilderness. All of them were laid low who would not show faithfulness in this covenant. But those who were faithful would make it. Those of the next generation that God would raise up would make it to the promised land. If you notice here, why did this happen? Why were there over 600,000 men, ages 20 and up, who died in the wilderness? And when you stop and think about 600,000, and it's actually a little bit more than that, when you think about 600,000 men over the course of 40 years, do you think you would notice 15,000 people dying of your nation every year? If you were to work in an average idea, and it didn't work in averages, to think of every day to have 41 people die. The funeral homes in Jeff City can't handle that. They do good to handle two or three a day. To think, if you are the ones who are digging graves, your job is never done. And what are you noticing about what happens when people don't keep a covenant with God? There's a consistent outcome of death. For them, a physical death to match their spiritual death. Now, notice why that happened. Look at the tail end of verse 9. He says, for they did not continue in my covenant. They made a decision. I have a covenant with God, but I'm not going to continue in it. He says, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. And literally that idea about not caring for them means to neglect. God says, you don't keep your covenant with me. He says, I am not under a promise to keep these covenant promises to you that are blessings. I will step away from you. I will leave you because you've left me. And because of that, all of a sudden, they, instead of getting a blessing, they get a cursing in the wilderness. Even in Jeremiah's day, because the people would not keep the covenant of God, they are going to go off into captivity. Whether you're talking about Israel or Judah. And to go, what's being said about this covenant relationship with God that we share in through the death of Jesus? He's going to talk about, what about this new covenant? And now he's going to bring out these promises. Look at verse 10. He says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Look at what he lays out. Four major promises about keeping faithful in this covenant relationship with God. Blessings like, I'm going to write my laws on their mind and in their heart. He says, I'll be their people. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. He goes on to speak about, you won't have to introduce Jesus to those who are fellow citizens and brothers in Christ. And he says, and I'll keep my covenant promise to forgive your iniquity and your sin. Now, here's the blessings. Real quickly, look over at chapter 10 and look down at verse 29. What if we in Christ neglect this covenant relationship? What stands for the future? And listen to the intensity of this verse. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 29. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? What if we're not going to honor this covenant relationship through the blood of Christ? He says, you've trampled my Son. You've insulted the Spirit of grace. And he says, and you have regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant. He says, you're acting like this covenant isn't good enough for you. Do you hear the intensity and the seriousness? This is what we should meet every day with. This kind of intensity about keeping this covenant with God. Now, come back to Hebrews chapter 8. And let's look at these promises, but I want you to see there's two sides to these promises. In verse 10, he says, I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them on their hearts. He says, this is what I will do. We may be sitting back going, boy, I have a hard time sometimes remembering where something is in Scripture. That's not what he's talking about. He said, I'm going to write my principles in your mind and on your heart. And I want you to think about this verse. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'll tell you where it's from. I want you to listen to this. This is something that Paul wrote to some saints. He says, you are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men. He says, your lives speak about what we've done there among you. He says, you're a letter. Let you consider that your life is a letter of what God has done in your life. Then he continues on. He says, being manifest that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, there's those who taught. He says, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. He says, you're the letter of Christ, and by the Spirit of God, he has written that on your heart. And this comes directly out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Paul was writing to them to say, do you realize what God has done in this covenant? You're a letter of Christ, and he has written those things by his Spirit on your heart. Not on tablets of stone, but on your heart, so that you would honor this covenant relationship. And it's by his Spirit, the same Spirit that was promised by God. Whenever we were baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ so that we can receive the gift of the Spirit to dwell within. A Spirit, a down payment for an inheritance of eternal life. And here's God saying, I have kept my covenant promise with you. You might even think in other terms, over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it talks about for those who are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. If we're going to walk by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God, he says, you are my children. And look at where that leads to the next promise in Romans chapter 8, where he says, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. He says, this is the relationship that we have because we're going to walk in things that are spiritual. We're going to let those things come into our lives. We're going to say, I'm going to control my temper. I'm going to bridle my tongue. I'm going to walk in these things that honor this covenant with God. Because I'm a letter of Christ. Because of what he has done in this covenant relationship. And so you start to think about our days as we live them. Here's another passage. If you remember in Jesus' life, there was a time he was teaching among God's own people, and his mother and his brothers show up, and someone said to him, your mother and brothers are here. And Jesus makes a statement among the people. He says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he says, those who do the will of my Father are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. He says, those are my people, the ones who do the will of my Father. And sure enough, if you're going to walk by the Spirit, whose will are you going to be doing? I'll do the Father's will. Now, what happens if we start doing our will instead? We're no longer keeping the covenant. We're no longer going to be His people that He cares for. And all of a sudden, we start to wonder, how come I can't find peace in my life through what's going on? How come I want to give up and no longer have endurance? Because I'm not keeping this covenant relationship. I'm not being faithful to Him and what He desires. And so you start to notice how these things work together. Yet here are these awesome promises where He says, I'm going to write it on your heart. I will be your God. But if you walk away from my covenant, I'm not going to care for you. And instead, there comes a cursing. Notice into verse 11, as he moves forward even further. He says, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. Now, I want you to pay special attention to the words that he uses. He uses citizen and he uses brother. This is not the picture of God's covenant of saying, okay, you won't have to teach anybody about the Lord anymore that's on the planet. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 talks about, Paul says, we know our citizenship's in heaven. He says, those who have a citizenship in heaven, they're going to keep this covenant relationship. They're going to honor in their everyday life this covenant we have with God. And you realize, he says, you're not going to have to teach and say, hey, do you know the Lord? Because you're fellow citizens of the same kingdom, walking faithfully with God. It doesn't mean there's not still more for us to understand. But you're not going to have to be introduced to Jesus. Because you already know Him as a Savior. You already know Him as a Lord. And then if you notice the next statement, he says, and everyone his brother. And once again, here's brother based upon everyone who does the will of God is my brother. That's the way Jesus was looking at it. And that's certainly the way we ought to look at it. And you realize, too, he makes the statement from here. He says, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. He says, from the lowest servant to the greatest dignitary, all based upon, because God's people are going to walk by the Spirit, be spiritually minded, and in doing that, we're going to live out faithfully the love of Christ in front of our brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have a citizenship in heaven, and even taking it before those who don't even know God. And now you realize this relationship is having a greater value. If we will honor this covenant relationship, and then notice what happens if we're not going to walk by the Spirit. Romans 8 says, if you're going to walk by the flesh, you have to die. And he's talking about being severed from these covenant promises and going back to a cursing that's even worse than if we never even knew. Notice the next statement in verse 12. He says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. Doesn't that covenant promise make you to glow? God says, in my covenant, I want you to know that one of my promises is that I'm not going to remember your iniquities anymore. Iniquities is about guilt. He says, I'm going to wipe that away because you recognize this covenant agreement is about your sins have been paid for. Yes, you will walk by the Spirit and you will still stumble at times. But do you realize here's the covenant promise of God that as we return to Him to walk in the ways that are pleasing to God, to do God's will. And Paul even writes about it in 1 Thessalonians 5, and he says, giving thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in our Lord Christ Jesus. You'll find people who are citizens in heaven are not complainers. They're not those who look at the situations and go, well, this is just a horrible thing. We know evil's horrible. We're not going to complain about it. You know what happened to all the complainers in the wilderness under the first covenant? They all died in the wilderness. They died spiritually and they died physically. What do you think's going to happen to us if we're complainers? Same things, because we're not walking in this covenant faithfully. You notice it here, you walk faithfully in the covenant. He says, I will remember their iniquities no longer. He says, I will remember their sins no more. He says, you are washed clean. Clean. Think about the flip side of this. In every covenant, there's either a blessing or a cursing based upon faithfulness or no longer keeping a covenant. If we're not going to forgive others, what do you know is not going to happen for us? We will not be forgiven. And what does that do to this covenant promise? God's saying, you're not keeping my covenant. And now instead of a blessing, what will you receive? A cursing from God. Here's someone who's insulting the Spirit of grace. Here's someone who is trampling the Son of God and rendering as unclean the blood of the covenant that we remember every first day of the week. If you don't think your covenant with God matters, then you may already be nearing the end of death. Or you may already be there. If you see this picture, how it's laid out, he gives these four promises. He says, I'll write these laws on your heart. He makes a statement. He says, you will be my people and I will be your God. He says, you won't have to go out and teach everyone a fellow citizen, because we're going to know Christ and we're going to walk in love. He says, in all your sin, I will remember no more. And it's not that he has amnesia. It's paid for in full. Let me show you something else. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, page 1149. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 23. I'll give you a moment to get there. First Corinthians 11, 23. Paul writes to a divided people, a people who aren't remembering these covenant promises, a people who aren't walking in love toward one another. And he's building toward that in chapter 13. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The very night where he's going to be betrayed by one of his own apostles. And yet he loves Judas with the same actions toward him as he did all the others. And yet Judas is going to receive a curse. His whole household is going to be cursed, because he didn't walk faithfully with Jesus. He let money be his idol. What happens among God's people when money becomes the idol? We no longer keep this covenant relationship. Verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He says, you need to remember my perfection. The unleavened bread. You need to remember what keeping a covenant with God is like. Jesus kept the covenant perfectly under the old covenant. He showed love to his neighbor. He showed devotion to his Father in every aspect of his being. And how did God keep that covenant with him? He raised him up on the third day. Because we're supposed to consider the perfection of Jesus. We're supposed to take our lives in striving to be more like Jesus, to walk in love by the Spirit of God, and to look at ours compared to His and say, is there something that needs to be addressed today? What do I need to be better shaped into Christ and in my life? And to have that time to meditate and to think about it. Look at the next verse, verse 25. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Every first day of the week, we're going to remember this covenant relationship with God. And you can either do it to where it is a great blessing, where we gain refinement and strength from God to overcome the flesh, to overcome the ways that are against God in our lives. Or we cannot even be concerned about growing in Christ and be cursed by God and wonder why I don't find peace, I don't find joy, I don't find endurance, I don't find self-control in my life, because I'm not honoring this covenant with God. Notice how this continues. He says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Without the blood of Christ, we have no covenant. Without the resurrection of Christ, we have no covenant. Then he continues on, verse 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. A proclamation of the Lord's death. He died so that I could change. He died so that I could be transformed. He died so that I could have life through His blood. He died so that I could have the Spirit of God dwelling within my heart, a down payment on eternal life and inheritance to come. Do I take this covenant with God as serious as God does? Because that is the goal. We may not reach those heights, but that's where we're striving to be. If you also notice, there's another promise at the end of that verse. How long is that remembrance going to go on? Until the Lord returns. What is His promise also in this covenant? I'm coming back. I'm coming back for my covenant people who were faithful in this covenant. And I will remember their sins no more. I will not remember their iniquities. They are my people. My laws are written on their hearts. And they have walked in love in this world like my son did. And I am coming back for you. Later on in this chapter, he says, because you're not going to do this in a worthy manner, he says, for this reason, you become weak and sick and dead, asleep. If we're not honoring this covenant in our everyday life, spiritual life just wanes out until we die, spiritually and then physically, dying unfaithful in this covenant. One more passage and the lesson will be yours. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, page 1207. I want you to notice how much this covenant means to God and to ask, does it mean that much to you and to me? Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. Jesus was willing to be the Lamb of God to shed the blood of this covenant. And notice the terminology that's used, the endurance of this covenant. This covenant was not just good back in the book of Acts. It's not limited to just today. This covenant is an eternal covenant. He will not remember our sins anymore throughout all of eternity. We will be His people throughout all of eternity. We will walk in love, growing in that, and moving forward all the way to the day eternity begins. And then we will be like Him, is what 1 John 3 says. And here will be love. To live in the love of God for all of eternity. As a citizen of heaven. He says He was willing to die for this covenant. That is a hill that He was willing to die on. Are you willing to die to keep this covenant with Him? Are you willing to grow upward into God and be rooted down into Christ? And then notice what that means for us in the present. Look at verse 21. He says, equip you in every good thing to do His will. No surprise. And He's the equipper. We may look at these things under the new covenant and go, I can't do this. He's like, I know you can't. You can't do it without me. And that's why I'm here to equip you. If you'll walk with me. He says, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And who did we gather today to worship? But God and His Lamb, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This supper is to be remembered. Not just remembered today, but to take the way we remember it with us all throughout the week, in every relationship. And we need to ask ourselves, does this covenant mean as much to us as what Jesus gave so that we could share this relationship? Do you see how much God desires this relationship with us? In this covenant. May we remember His covenant promises. But may we also remember there can also be a cursing. May we walk in faith. May we seek to imitate Jesus and to walk like He walks among men.